in the house, his wife Michelle. Something's gonna happen again. Praise God. He did a wonderful job. I appreciate the anointing there. We had such a wonderful time on Wednesday. Wasn't he wonderful? We might invite you back again. I'm not sure. Let's see what happens. Well, we had a great time. So kids, everyone was blessed. His stories, he's got a lot of good stories, but he didn't finish his teaching. He's got to come back. I think it's a 16-part series, right? I usually say it's a miracle. It's a miracle service when we finish our messages. You know, it's a miracle service. This is going to be a miracle service. Amen. So we're going to finish the message. We started the message last week, and it's on spiritual growth, and so we're going to continue our series on that. Even though it's Father's Day, and we want to give attention to that for sure. We want to invite people to meet us right after the service. We're going to have some tea or coffee or whatever juice you want back in the fellowship hall if you want to meet any one of the pastors or just mingle and meet somebody else that's brand new to our fellowship. So we'll do that right after the service, right down the hall. And I guess that's it. I don't have any more announcements, but I want to pray for my good friend Paul Finlayson. Paul, wave at me. Paul is a good man of God that I've been praying for him. We're hoping maybe next year he'll come to Bible college, my brother, and we're gonna help you out there in Long Lac, where I come from, and we're gonna pray for that city or that church or the community there and all the churches that are there. So there's people there that need your help. It's good to pray, right? And so we always pray for our nation and our city. And I pray every day for our mayor, Bill Morrow. And he needs our prayer. And, you know, people that are making decisions every day, that are big decisions, they're not like, we're going to eat breakfast this morning. It's like making decisions on our finances and our security of our city and our nation and the things about the pandemic and the war in Ukraine. I read a scripture this morning that God can stop wars. That's all over in the Psalms. He's a God that can stop wars and destroy different weapons that will come against us. So we're going to pray. We're all going to stand up and pray for our nation. And let's do that together as we stand. We're going to pray one joint prayer for all these three areas. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for of course, we're going to pray for our prime minister and our premier and also our mayor. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to praise you this morning for our city. Thank you for the privilege of praying in the will of God. You said that you wish that everyone would pray, lifting holy hands without wrath or doubting, and you said that in 1 Timothy. And so we lift our hands in prayer and faith in the name of Jesus. We pray, we bless our Prime Minister, Lord God. Many of us might not agree with every policy, but we pray for the benefit of all the country and all the countries that we are interaction with every day, and we pray for our security and our economic situations going on across the nation with all the stuff that's going so high, and we pray for the future of our country. We pray that our prime minister and the government and everyone there will make the decisions that's going to affect us in a good way across the nation. We pray that the godly influence would come into our federal government, all the ministers. We cover them with your blood. We say, in the name of Jesus, may the will of God be done. We also pray for our premier, Father, in the name of Jesus, Doug Ford. We ask you that. And all those that are elected to that government party in the name of Jesus at Queen's Park, we ask that you bless them. May they be directed by the Holy Spirit and protect them from all harm and help them to have the rest and help them to be free from anxieties so that they can make decisions that are going to be beneficial to all our people across the country, around Ontario and across the nation. Father, we have such an impact across the nation here in Ontario. We ask that you bless them and give them godly wisdom in the name of Jesus and send godly influence and give them divine connections and divine order in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our very own mayor, Bill Morrow, we ask that the will of God, the plan of God, we pray for all the managers and all the administrators and all those that are working in different departments in our city. We pray for our city, our leaders in different departments. We pray for them that they'll make the right decisions. And we pray against different things that have been plaguing our city. We pray against the drug addiction in the name of Jesus. We pray a swift and quick action to help these areas in the name of Jesus. Those that are dying from pandemics and all the families that are being affected and our economy being affected because of these things. We pray also, Lord God, for the other areas and our economy right here in our city in the name of Jesus. We pray for the work. People will find work and have work and give people ideas for their businesses in the name of Jesus. We pray for all the businessmen and all our schools that are directing people into the workforce in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that he's working through these people. We come against division and racism, and we pray for our First Nations in the city. We pray for our First Nation across right here, across the river here at Fort William. We pray for the chief, Chief Collins. Ask you bless him. Help him to make great decisions. We thank you, Father, for you said to pray for them and that you would ask the will of God to be done. We give you praise for all the people that are gathered here this morning. We pray that the minds be open and the heart receptive to the word of God. They will not just be hearers only, but doers of the word. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Okay, you may be seated. Thank you so much for participating in the prayer. Glory to God. All right. So we're going to talk about, again, our lesson from last time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Spiritual growth. We actually entitled our message last week was Time to Grow Up. And, of course, spiritual growth is our topic. And we used Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 as our text. And we're going to have a few more other scriptures that will actually come along with that verse of scripture. And I'll read you maybe two more scriptures that will coincide and give, you know, support to that idea of spiritual growth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, please. And if you don't have a Bible, look at the screens. You can follow along there with our scripture. So I'm reading the King James Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things, which is the head, even Christ. The Bible says right here, of course, that Jesus is the head of the church. We are his body. And so God cannot do anything in the world unless the body cooperates with the head. And we give an analogy at one point, you know, your head can't go anywhere that your body wants to, where it wants to go. So it has to flow. So it has to work together. So we're part of the body of Christ. Amen. We're all one, you know. So we all look different, and we have different things about us. So we're all different, but we're the same body. The scripture says that. So, but here it says that we speak the truth in Christ in love. With love, we may grow up. And so that's the thing. We took the word out of there. May grow up in Him. Let's all say it together. May grow up, in Him. So the purpose of spiritual growth, and we'll say this again in another way. The purpose of spiritual growth is that we might grow up in Christ. We might grow up in Christ. And another way to say it, really, that is we might grow up to be like Jesus. That's the point, that we should grow up to be like Jesus in the way we operate as people, as citizens of heaven here on earth. And lots of times it doesn't resemble that a lot of times. In the church, if you go to church, you know, even pastors, people that are in leadership, they don't always represent what Jesus would look like. Because how many understand that everyone is at a different stage of development? Everyone is at a different growth level in our spiritual walk. We're not perfect, and God doesn't certainly wait till you're perfect to call you. And he calls you in the ministry. There's a plan there for you, and hopefully that we'll follow it. So I would like to read in tandem these other scriptures that I want to pick up and read that gives you the same idea, and then I want to make some important points about that. So we just finished reading Ephesians 4, and 15, that we may grow up in him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We're talking about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, developing. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, if you'll follow that, it says in there, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. That we may grow. So the scripture here again tells us that we need to grow as individuals. We grow as a church. You know, we have to develop in the things of God and our information and in our understanding of God's word. And when we get God's word in us, in our spirits, we grow and develop. We have the capacity to do what we're supposed to do. And I mentioned this again another time, that lack of growth really prevents you from being in the will of God where you should be. And when you don't grow the way you should be, you lose, you know, things that you need to, that you could be experiencing as a Christian. So a lack of growth is a huge area in the church. And our pastor back in Tulsa used to tell us, I know Brother Hagin, Dr. Hagin used to say this, one of the greatest need in churches today is spiritual growth, in that he talks about in there to spiritual renewal or mind renewal. The Bible talks about Romans chapter 12, that we should renew our mind. That means that we need to develop an understanding and really, you know, receive the word of God to the point that we embrace it and we change our mind about a lot of stuff. And so it's not what you think that's important, it's what the Bible says, right? So you can think any way you want to think, but what does the Bible say? And that's what I've heard for many times. Our mentor, our spiritual father would say, you know, anytime you run up a hard situation, you know, it doesn't have to be a crisis, a financial or a family thing, but maybe you have an emotional crisis, maybe you're having an issue, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe you've been offended. You should ask yourself, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say to do? And years ago, you used to have this little bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Well, that's about spiritual growth. That's what it's talking about. So it talks about it here, as newborn babes desire to sense the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I know most of us, we started on milk. I don't think there's a person here that had teeth when they grew up. And he started eating steak right away. But everybody grows, everybody starts the same place. And we grow up to the place where we can develop. And you know, people who they take advancement, and I think I'll talk to a lot of people that they don't have a foundation of the Word of God, and so they try to understand things that they haven't had previously been introduced to, so they just get confused about different things. I know I was that way. I didn't understand about a lot of things. And so when someone introduced me to a concept of the Word of God, then I was messed up. It's like going to university. When I went to university, I tried to take third year courses when I was in first year. And I actually did before. I went to a course and I just kind of took I don't know why they let me take advanced courses. And so, I couldn't understand. I said, why? I don't understand this course. It's because I didn't have the background. And you can't teach spiritual things to people in church if they didn't have a background, if they didn't have an understanding of the Word of God. It's hard for you to receive concepts that you don't know anything about. And so when I tell people, around here, we have once a month, we have what we call spiritual, what do we call that? Leadership development. That's what we call the leadership essentials. That means these are important things you need to know about serving God. And we teach leadership, servant leadership, and that is everybody's a leader. Everybody in here is a leader. You're a lead somewhere. You lead your family. If you're a mom, you lead your children. So leadership is something that we all do. Leadership is about influence. And so, we all have to grow up into that place that where we can be better at it. We don't become better overnight. It's not automatic. And so let's go to our next scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. So we're going to reintroduce these scriptures later on and show you something here and say some things that will actually make some sense. So get the information, learn things, develop things in the things of God. And so it makes it a whole lot easier. So I remember my brother once, you know, he went to a camp meeting. Just a brand new Christian, and he went out to this camp meeting. He was there for like a weekend, and he went with somebody, so he couldn't just leave because he's there with them, unless he walked back, which is hardly unlikely. And so he come back, he's all upset, and he's all like almost crying, just confused, you know. I said, so what are you talking about? He said something to me, and they were saying different things that was contrary to, you know, what he believed. And I said, well, you know, you need to understand some things. You might not always understand everything everybody's saying, so just take your time. Don't try to understand it all at once. Don't digest everything all at once. A lot of times when I'm reading the Bible, I don't always try to figure it out right away. I said, okay, I must be missing something here. And then, you know, it comes to you somewhere along the line. God will give you that piece of information you need. Did you find Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13? It says, for everyone that uses milk. Well, we know who uses milk. It's the babies. So, well, I still use milk in the morning with my cereal and my coffee, but it's still good to use it, right? So everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or baby. So it talks about here, the writer here, we believe the Hebrews written by Paul, because it's similar to other writings. And he's a babe. So there's things that sometimes you don't always understand. And I mentioned to you, like, you know, we have the spiritual growth. We have spiritual leadership. We have our servant leadership. We've been teaching this once a month. Maybe 40, 50 people attend there regularly on a regular basis. We have lessons. We have group discussions. We have small group, large group. And then we eat together, which is the best part. And so if you like to eat, you come to that meeting. So we've been teaching that since 2000. In fact, earlier we did lessons like that. So 2000, we taught every month. Unless something happens, we taught every month since 2000 until now. Of course, the pandemic affected that. And so people come in and learn different things about leadership. And I tell people this. People want to serve. They come here and they want to serve the church. They want to serve in some capacity. And I say this with, you know, of course, caution, that serving can be dangerous to your health. You need teaching. Because sometimes you serve and you have an idea, a concept of how things should go and how things should develop and unfold in leadership. How many people know that it doesn't always go the way you think when you plan? So sometimes people get injured by maybe fellow workers, or a leader might say something. Maybe they get, you know, under your skin and different things happen. So we teach on the kind of attitudes we should receive, and then learn skill how to come out of different situations. So that's why I'm saying that sometimes it can be difficult when you don't have the background for different things. And I think we should have that everywhere. I know when I used to work in one place, we had a great ability to learn about all these skills, people's skills, and so on. So we want to just reiterate a few things. Spiritual growth is an essential requirement for every believer. We all have something that we can do to carry out the plan of God in our lives or in the life of the church at large. It's time that we get serious about our inner growth and be effective in the church or in spiritual ministry. Spiritual growth is something that is not automatic. You don't become mature just by hanging around the church. You know, you could come to church every week, but it doesn't, you don't really grow automatically just attending church. So there's things that happen. And very often I'm very sad to see people get upset about different things. They leave a church and come to our church or go to another church, and they never get over things. they never work through them because of whatever fears they have or whatever, and so different things. So we've seen that over the years, and I've been a pastor here for over 30 years, 32, 33 years. I think I'm one of the oldest pastors around the area. The emphasis is on old. So I've been around for a while, and I work with pastors across the city, and it's the same story across the board. People. One of the things that gets stresses that pastors out is leadership dysfunction. And I heard, Barna says 1,500 pastors quit every month because of stress in their leadership. That's pretty amazing. So what is spiritual leadership, spiritual growth? It's the training and development of the human spirit, developing ourselves. You know, we're spirit. First of all, we're spirit. We got born again. Our spirit is on the hidden man on the inside. Our bodies are just a shell, or we shouldn't say this just a shell, but our bodies are we spend a lot of time on our bodies. How many of you washed your body this morning? You combed your hair, you brushed it, shaved it, and whatever you did. So you spend a lot of time on it, and you combed your hair. So we have to take care of ourselves. So spirituality is the same way. It just doesn't get tidy and cleaned up and cared for automatically. Just as you do something for your physical body or your intellect or your mind or your physical part of your body. Some people exercise to help them get stronger or stay strong. And as you get older, you notice you lose some capacity. But you have to do more, right, Momo? You have to exercise more. And, we have to develop and get stronger. And nothing is going to happen just automatically. You're not going to be spiritually strong and mature without you doing some things. And this is consistency over a long period of time. This is not like, I'll just attend church on Sunday once in a while. I'll just once in a while go to church. And, I'll just kind of stay on the outside of the church and really not be involved in the programming and what God gives a local pastor and church to get around. No, you'll just be stuck in a certain place for all those years and never learn something unless you go through some hard times. Don't have a lot of amens on that, but that's the way it is. You cannot grow. It'll be 35 years we've had together. And the first couple of years, where's our newlyweds are getting married soon, or maybe not here this morning. But the first couple of years was challenging, right, Mikhail? Yeah. It was very tough. Yeah. And, he agrees with me. But Pastor Ken, wouldn't you say the first few years was a little bit tough, yeah? So you get to know someone. I always say this is my general saying, don't get offended. I say single people are the most selfish people I ever met. You don't know how to live with people. You don't know how to live with someone else. And all you married people should say amen. because when you're single, you do whatever you want to. You go to the store, buy something, just crumble up the receipt and throw it in the garbage. But when you're married, you have to buy, if you buy ice cream, like one cone or something. I say, honey, I bought some ice cream. We listen, yeah. She let me buy a cap yesterday. We won't tell them how much that cap was. She went to the store, and one famous store in town, she bought these nice shoes, and they were like $5. It's like brand new shoes. I wish I could find a store that has, nice Toronto Maple Leaf or a Blue Jay cap that I could find for $5. You can't find that in this town. That'd be a miracle. Anyway. Nobody's with me on that one, but you don't get excited about caps, eh? But Mumu, you have a cap on. I bet that costs $1 billion. I don't know. But anyway, spiritual growth is similar to natural growth. And, you don't just grow over. You don't just, when you're born into the world, you just can't just run out of the prenatal hospital, a kid just jumps up, just popped out, and they're washing him up, and just gets up and runs away. He said, I'm going to go get a Timmy's. First of all, doesn't know what Timmy's is. Right? No, I mean, there's certain things that a kid has to do. You have to take care of a child. And when spiritually, when people come into the church, you know, although they might be 45 years old, just got born again, had a lot of Christian beliefs or ideas about religious things, but they've been taught things, maybe not even Bible. I mean, I was 24 years old when I got born again, and I had all this idea about what God was. In fact, I blame God for a lot of stuff that happened in my life that was not really God that did it. You know, so I blame God for a lot of stuff. So I had a hard time with God. Me and him weren't getting along. Because I blamed them for a lot of stuff that happened, but really it was the devil's causing a lot of stuff. So I blamed him, and I ran away from God. And a lot of you maybe don't mind my background, is I was addicted. And when I went to treatment, they said to me, you got to do this step. It's step three, and that is you need a step three is that give your life to God. I said, I don't want to give my life to God. Man, he caused me a lot of trouble. So I didn't understand. So my concept of God was really warped. But I went to church. There's not a time that I didn't know that I always went to church all my life. Until 24 years old, I went to church every Sunday. I knew about Jesus. I loved Jesus as far as I understood. And I love all the saints. And I loved everything about my church. But one night, Billy Graham came on television while I was at college, my second year in college, and he said, you can be born again. Jesus can come in your life right now. I never heard that before. But I heard it many, many times before. But this time it seemed like I heard it for the first time. And he said, he can come, Jesus can come right there, right now, wherever you are. If you're in a hospital bed, if you're in a jail somewhere, if you're in a home somewhere, if you're in your home right now, in your living room, in your bedroom, in your bed, God, Jesus will come right there and right now. And I never heard that like that, in that fashion before. So Billy Graham, in his beautiful way, said, we're going to pray right now if you want Jesus. If you don't know right now, that if you died right this second, you wouldn't make heaven your home. Well, I didn't know I was in a kind of a place where I was, you know, I felt what I was taught, that I had to work for my salvation, that I had to confess every sin all the time that I'd known or unknown. And I didn't know if I would die. If I died, I'd go to heaven. So he said, let's pray. So I bowed my head and I invited Jesus. He said, you must be born again. Everybody say, born again. So this ties in with spiritual growth, because everybody, no matter how old you are, you have to be born again. Jesus told an old man by the name of Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night because he's afraid of his religious friends, and asked Jesus about this concept. He said, you must be born again. He said, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. Can I enter a second time in my mother's womb? He's talking natural. And Jesus was talking spiritual. So at 24 years old, I got born again. I said, Jesus, come in my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And if I would die today, I don't know if I'll make heaven my home. And so I bowed my head and I prayed. And I cried like a baby when I received Jesus. Something happened to me. You know, when it says in Matthew 4 and 16, the Bible says, people who sat in the darkness saw a light, a great light. Something happened to me. Ephesians 4 says that we were in the kingdom of darkness, now we're in the kingdom of light. Light came on. I saw the light. There's a song. I saw the light. I saw the light. You remember that song? They should do, we should do that song over again and do like a funky one. You know? I saw the light. So a light came on. Got born again. I got saved, and I cried my eyes out. I cried for days, Mr. Mantilla. I cried for days and days. I was so happy. I didn't know I was depressed all my life. I didn't know I was depressed. You know, and all of a sudden, my eyes opened. If you read the Bible, you see that light comes, darkness leaves you, and light comes. And I was seeing a psychiatrist, And because my doctor sent me to a psychiatrist, he didn't know what to do with me because I told him what kind of sickness I had and what he should give me. So give me prescriptions, go upstairs. I went upstairs and I went to a psychiatrist. I didn't know I was going to a psychiatrist. And so I went there and I got born again. Born again, yeah. So I got, something happened to me. I felt so good. You know, when you're depressed all your life and Jesus comes in your life, takes away all the depression, all the oppression, and he comes in, you know something happened to you. But I was in church all my life. I went to church every Sunday. Whatever I drank and had parties, I went to church, man. But I was never born again. And there's some people maybe here. You went to church all your life, but you've never been born again. You need to be born again. You need to have Jesus to come in your life. Come directly into your life by the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit will come into you. So I got born again that day. And within a matter of 10 seconds, poof, I became a mature Christian. Amen? I can forgive everybody. I wanted to give everything away. You know, went to church, never sinned again. Never looked lustfully on any woman. It's really quietly that you see stuff like that. Didn't want to steal. But I know a lot of times, you know, you can relate to this yourself as a Christian. You know, I'm a pastor. Once I told someone, you know, they were talking about different things. Hey, you know what? I said, I have the same feelings. I like to kill people myself. What? You're a pastor. But Jesus said, you know, if you have hatred in your heart, you have murder. You're just like a murderer. Right. He don't differentiate the sin. Didn't mean I want to, you know, actually kill somebody. You felt that way. You ever felt that way, brother? I remember Billy Graham said, he said, you ever think about divorce? He said, no, but I thought about murder lots of times. Right? So, you know, we don't become perfect overnight. And so it took me a number of years to grow. And I just kind of just had a hard time sliding around for a while with my spiritual growth. And I'd go to church and saw all these perfect people in church. And I thought, I wish I was like them. You know, they seem to be good. They know how to worship. They worship wonderfully because I watched people. I was like, ooh. You know? And, you know, I was amazed at people's level of growth, and I didn't understand it back then because people weren't really nice to me, the circle of friends I had. So I went out with these people one time after a function. It was not I knew this guy was spiritual. I didn't know he went to church. I didn't know he was born again. But there was something about this guy. He shone bright. You know, you ever notice some Christians? There's something bright about them. I know whenever I go back to Tulsa, I look at Pastor Hagin. Now, he's in his early 80s. He looks like he looks so shiny. And so bright and wonderful. And, you know, we become attractive because the power of God's there. So I went to church and every Sunday, and I was still smoking cigarettes, you know. If I was not an alcoholic, I'd probably still be drinking liquor too. But for me, I had to quit or it would kill me. And so I understand after many years that, you know, we shouldn't drink anyway because it'll destroy someone else. At least you have to do gimus. That means you have to secretly if you do it. So I come to church and I'm worshiping God, you know. And I mean, the power of God's coming on me. I'm just excited. I'm happy. The power of God, oh, so wonderful. How many people know when you're worshiping God, the power of God comes all over you? You just feel so wonderful. Anybody like that? Well, three of you anyway. But I was like that. And then, you know, I was still addicted. You know, you could be born again and have other areas of your life still. The enemy has a has a hold on you in certain parts of your life, in your thinking. The enemy can still have a hold on your life. You're thinking, yes, you're born again. Yes, you struggle with certain things. You could be born again, and yet the enemy has a certain hold on you physically or naturally in your life somewhere along the line. And I didn't realize that. Because I thought, you know, you're born again, you're totally, everything goes away for a little while. So it took a while for me to understand this. So I'm smoking cigarettes still while I'm born again. I can't wait till after church because I want this light right up. But God eventually took that away from me. And different things happened over the years. I could have been offended over different things and got hurt in church and wasn't really that faithful in church. And so sometimes we get on people, they get born again 1 month or just 1 year, and we expect them to be perfect. But no, everybody has issues. Everybody struggles with stuff. You might not be consistent in life, spiritually. And if you're like been around for 40, 50 years, had a chance to read spiritual things and had mentorship, leadership training, and had a good church to come to feed on the Word of God and be encouraged to practice the Word of God, maybe some people didn't have that. And so they get born again. Maybe they were hard on the streets and had a hard time. And yet we expect them to be perfect overnight. Now, I'm not trying to let you guys off because you ought to get better, right? So I was told that if I'm going to get born again and I come to Jesus, there's certain things, hallmarks of different things that I have to do, basic things I have to do. One thing for sure, I got to learn how to forgive. And that holds a lot of people back in their Christian life. They don't forgive their past. I learned I had to let my feelings about the government, I had to let that go. The feelings I had with my mom and dad, I had to let that go. I blamed my parents for what happened to me. I had to come to a place where I had to let it go. And you can't grow spiritually if you're not willing to let things go. And so here's another thing. I'm just kind of going over these things really quickly. And here's another thing. I've got scripture for these. You know, you got to have scripture for everything, right? Amen. Okay, hang on. So, here's another thing. You got to learn to forget. Forget the past. You can't grow and keep looking at the past. The Bible tells us to look ahead. It's hard to, one of my mentors earlier in my Christian life said, Roma, it's hard to drive forward, look in your rear view mirror all the time. You can't just be looking at your past all the time and thinking about just because you had this in your past, you make that something an issue so that, you know, you can't go forward. And I was reading last night in Bible life. One of the last things I do at night, and I make sure this is my practice. You don't have to do this. But for me, before I close my night every night, I read my Bible for at least 15 minutes, sometimes maybe more. I develop a habit of reading my Bible every night. My wife reads the Bible with me sometimes. We read the Bible every night, every day together for the last 22 years or more, maybe 22 years maybe. Read the Bible together. Now, I don't read it to her out loud, but we read it together. Sometimes I look over to see if she's actually reading or sleeping. So last night I told her, you're speeding reading, huh? But anyway, I don't know why I said that, but what was that? What? You remember what I said, Pastor? Anyway, so reading my Bible last night, I was reading about Ahab and Omri the other night, Ahab, they were wicked kings. They practiced worshiping idols. And the Bible says they did worse in the sight of God, and it did evil. evil. More than the wicked kings, more than all the kings before. And anyways, The story, I'm just going to skip over some stuff, but God told us, the prophet of God, Elijah, go and anoint Elisha, who's going to take your place in the ministry. Because remember, he was all tuckered out, and he was running away from, what's that woman's name? Jezebel? You remember Jezebel? Oh, she's something else. Anyway, he tells the prophet, I'm going to kill you. Just like you kill all my priests and whatever, we're going to kill you. So, because they had this contest. He said, okay, you call on your gods, I'll call on my gods. The God that answers from heaven and burns up this, he's God. Of course, Elijah won, right? Yep. Or was it Elisha? I'm getting mixed up here. Elijah. They're twins. Anyways, so he killed all those false prophets. So this the queen, I guess, would be called queen. He says to the prophet, "I'm going to kill you, just like you did to the prophets." And the man of God got scared of this woman, so he runs away from this Jezebel, and he ran so far he's all tired out. And God starts to talk to him. What are you doing here? Did God ever tell you that? You run away from him. He said, what are you doing over here? And he said, well, I'm the only one left. But God says, I got more than you, Ron. So some of us are like that, right? I'm the only one that's worshiping. Only one that's giving to this church. I work to the bone. But he gave a pretty good, he's got high praises for himself. But God says, hey, I got other people. But anyway, to make the story longer, he runs away and he gets all tired out. And he wanted to die. Like this morning, I felt the same way. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm so tired. I want to go to church. Lord, leave me alone. Why did you call me to the ministry in the first place? I didn't want to be here. The same old argument I had years ago. How many people know I did not want to come in the ministry? And actually, when I got here, people didn't want me either, which was the hard part about it, you know. You had to convince me to people that didn't want me. So I thought, you know, it's kind of funny. Anyway, he says, Elijah says, kill me. I might as well just go ahead and kill me. If you don't do this, just kill me. This reminds me of my dad, another story. Remember I told us about dad? My mom and dad used to fight. So my dad would get so tired of it, he said, okay, kill old man the watch. This is a good story. We had an inside story. You might not all understand it. But anyway, so he says, Elijah said, kill me. He said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, I'm going to tell you what to do. Go over here and you anoint these three people. And this guy's going to do this, and this guy's going to do that, and anoint this guy called Elisha. So he goes over to Elisha, and he says, cast his mantle upon him, his cloak, as a sign that the anointing has come upon him. So he put that mantle on. The mantle is the anointing. And he says, wait a minute, Elijah. I want to go home first and say, kiss my mother and dad, say goodbye. He says, remember what I did for you. And he went and followed this man in the ministry, became his servant. You remember that story? Okay, so anyway, so what happened? This man, Elisha, he was working in the field with 12 yoke of oxen and plowing the field. And plowing is symbolic of prayer. And if you understand the Bible interpretation, you find plowing is symbolic of prayer time. So that's what he's doing. So anyway, for us, if we're going to discover God, we need to do some praying. That's how to find, to really, God will talk to you in your times of prayer. So anyway, he was doing that. And what he did, this is what he did for a living. You know, when you come to God, if you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to leave everything behind. If you really want to grow in church, if you're going to hang on to stuff, and try to drag that on with you in the church and drag on to the ministry, it's going to be tough. So God wants you to do it a little differently, and that is he gives you a little bit of time to throw things away. So Elijah, he said, I'll follow you. I'm going to do this, kiss my mom and dad goodbye. I'm going to follow you. And so he came back to his ox, and he destroyed all the instruments of his work, burns them, and kills the oxen. And it says in the New Living there, and he gave out the meat to the community. Sounds like a good thing. So what did he do? He was willing to come to God and just leave everything there and walk with him and grow with him. And you know, Jesus said, unless you're willing, put your hand to the plow, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Sometimes in your Christian walk, as a born-again Christian, sometimes you just have to let things go. Your old friends, your old people, the things that you used to do, even sometimes your favorite activities. I know I played hockey for years and years. As a kid, I grew up playing hockey. The Lord said to me, listen, you need to quit hockey. Well, I did not want to quit hockey. I played hockey all my life. Traveled on weekends, had great time. It built up my security. It built up my self-esteem. Yeah, you're a good hockey player. We love you. Come on. You know, I mean, it builds you up. And for you to give something away like that and walk away from it, it wasn't just like quitting an activity. There was a whole lifestyle and mentality behind it. So when my wife looked at me like this on Friday night, you know, I would get antsy. What are you getting? Where are you going? Well, I got to eat it at a certain time. I got to have a nap too. And I got to buy a $150 stick here. Budget, and I mean everything, had to arrange my life. And so when we became born again, you know, the Bible says we have to be born again. And you know what? When you're in the babyhood, a stage of development, it's hard to let the nipple go. That's not the right word. But what do you call it? I mean, I don't have the terminology. I just bluffed up like that. I mean, I grew up on the nipple. I mean, my mom just, you know, helped us out. We all had that when we were kids, right? The bottle is a good word. That's what I mean. Yeah. So it's hard. I mean, that's a hard thing for people to let go, because that's your security. You know, you're attached to your mother. Secure. I mean, everything's there. To grow up spiritually, to let things go, and to follow, jump into the things of God and just follow God 100%. Sometimes it's one of the hardest things to do. And I want to tell you in the next little while to introduce you how you can identify whether you're in the baby stage of spiritual growth. For one thing, babies can't do anything for themselves. They don't know how to find scripture. They don't know about certain subjects. And one of the things about being a Christian when you grow up, yeah, you have to forgive. You have to forget. You got to learn how to pray for yourself and for other people and for everybody else. Pray for everybody else first before you pray for yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. You got to learn how to pray. Learn how to believe God yourself. And I said, always say this, one of the happiest days in your Christian life is when you know your prayers are answered. When you can believe in your own prayer. Not phone Joyce Meyer. Whatever. I mean, if you're a Christian baby, yes, go ahead and do it. It's good. But if you're like an all-time Christian, you ought to learn how to pray and be praying for other people. And we need to evaluate our own lives to see whether or not we're old enough, we're grown. The Bible said that we get weaned from the stage into this babyhood stage. One of the things, as I mentioned, as a baby Christian, we don't know very many things. What's the kind of a characteristic of a baby? They got no past. Like as a Christian, God forgives you about everything you had in your life. You have to learn about it, though. It doesn't happen automatically. God forgives all your past. It's all gone. It's wiped away. God says, I don't even remember your sin. He said, I don't remember everything. You go to God, Lord, forgive me for this. God says, I don't remember that. It's washing of the blood. That's what Isaiah says, right? He said, in fact, it says in the Hebrews book of Hebrews, it said, in your sins I'll remember no more. And what a great day that is to recognize when you're born again, you come to Jesus, you're coming to a baby stage of development, that you know that your past is gone. God doesn't hold that against you anymore. But as you live, you do have certain things that you have in your life that you fall back into sometimes, and you have to learn how to let that go too. Right? And, you know, we have to learn these things in our Christian walk. So here's what Elisha did. He had to destroy all his instruments, sell his business, so to speak, get his oxen, and he went and he followed 100%. So if we're going to grow spiritually, we're going to have to learn to follow God 100%. And I remember I was like kind of radical. When I got born again, I got radical because you understand, for some reason for me, I just got so radical in my Christian life. When I came to Jesus, I just fell in love 100%. I just loved Jesus. I'd do anything for him. I had nothing. So when I came to Jesus, he had everything. I could just give Jesus everything I had. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any property, didn't have any cars, didn't have nothing. It's like when I went to a treatment center, I went to AA, they said to us, you know, all these guys in the room, they're all older men and women in these AA meetings. We heard people talking, oh, I lost my wife, and this is my fourth wife. I lost 4 cars, I wrecked 7 cars. I went to a hospital, I went to the bug house 17 times. I went to treatment, did all that stuff. I lost this, I lost that, lost property, or whatever else. I'm sitting there, I'm 17 years old. I'm saying, I never lost anything. I never lost a wife, never lost a car. I didn't even have a driver's license to lose. You know, evaluating my life on those things. But as you get older, when you come to Jesus, you have to let things go. So I lived a little bit in life, and the Lord said to follow him. So one thing about being a baby Christian is that you're innocent. You don't know much. And you can't do things for yourself. You need people, you need support, you need people to feed you, take you around, so to speak, spiritually, and take you along the line and walk you along. And babies get hurt easily. They get thin skin and they fall and they get into trouble and they fall down. Spiritually speaking, that happens a lot of times in Christian life. And so if you're always falling down spiritually and you're always getting hurt, you know, you're probably still in the baby stage in some area of your Christian life. So I realize I'm just talking about this. I haven't given you a lot of these scriptures, but I do have scriptures for everything I'm saying. But you'll have to come back another time to see it. Amen? So we have to grow up. The whole point of it is we have to grow up. And if you relate to any of this stuff I'm telling you, hey, you know, we need some development. Amen. On the natural, I'm just talking the natural things, but there, the Bible tells us we have to grow up. Let's go ahead and stand up. Happy Father's Day, all the dads and the dads-to-be. Thank you, Lord. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace upon our lives. For all the families that are here, we ask a special prayer for all the dads that they may enjoy this day with their family, with their children, but whoever they're having fun with, and those that don't have children with them, we just pray that they'll have a great time anyway, wherever they are. Lord, we just want to say we appreciate the fact that we can grow spiritually and develop to become strong people, to be stable people, people to the level of that we can train other people, help other people along the way, and help them go through things that we went through, and maybe perhaps avoid situations that we got ourselves entangled with in our Christian walk. We thank you that our sins are washed away, and that you would forgive us if we fall, and you said you'd forgive us. And if we ever make a wrong turn, you'll always be there to put us back in the right place. If we have an honest heart, you said a man with a good and honest heart, he can have 100% blessing in his life. You said there's 30, 40, and 60, and those that get the maximum benefit are those that give 100%. And so, Father, today in our lives, we yield to you. We say, God, we don't know about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow. And we sure can see the past. And we're here right now. And so we thank you that we can function today with the right mind. But we're going to give you our whole life today. We just stand here, like as Jesus said, may your will be done in our lives. We pray the prayer of consecration and dedication to you. We rededicate our lives to you. We said, Jesus, today is a brand new day. This is a new day. I'm giving my life to you again. Although I've been saved for many years, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say, Jesus, you have my life. All my skill, everything I have belongs to you. Even the very breath I have, the strength I have, comes from you. We thank you. We just pray for every person here that is struggling with strength, spiritual strength, and physical body as well. And we pray that energy by the Holy Spirit will rise up in them, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each one of them. And so we pray that the quickening in their bodies, what happened right now, that they quicken their bodies, and everyone will have a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that right now. We pray that everyone will have a secure understanding of their born-again experience, that they know that they're saved. If they would die today, they'd know that be in the very presence of with Jesus. Like Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Thank you. That we'll have that assurance. We'll know that we know that we know that we should die. Like that man said, Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom. He said, you'll be with me in paradise. We want to thank you for that assurance that we can know that we know 100%. Is there someone here in this room right now that says, Pastor Roma, I want to be sure 100% that I'm saved, that I'm born again, that if I should die anytime from now, I'd make heaven my home. God wants you to be secure in your salvation. If there's someone here like that, if you slip your hand up right out high and say, Pastor, please pray with me. I need to know, and I want to be born again. If there's somebody here that like that, say, I want to be saved. If there's someone here, I'm looking around right now in the name of Jesus. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Thank you. Is there somebody? Lift your hand up right now. One man in the name of Jesus. Is there somebody else besides that? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray with this young man, young woman, that they can make certain for a fact that they know they're safe. Get out of your chair right now and come with me. I want to pray with you right now to be safe. Come on. Get out of your chair if that's you right now. Get out of your chair. I want to pray with you right now. Come on. I'm going to pray with you. Stand right here. I'll pray with you right now. Come on. Give this guy a hand. Praise God. Another one here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God, I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. The Lord loves you and he has a plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your life, man. Don't miss it. This is a brand new day for you. Something's happened in your heart today. You're a changed man. Said, dear God, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sins. And today is a new day. I'm born again because I accepted you as my Lord. I believe it. I believe. Yes. Father, stretch your hand towards this young man in the name of Jesus. Father, my good friend, I pray for you. Oh, that Bamba Keshiti Lama. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God going throughout his entire body. Oh Yama Sokolin Sandinish. Thank you, Lord. Moku Sumbobo. Fill him with your Holy Ghost. Relieve him of everything that would bind him. Spirit, soul, and body. Fill his heart. Heal his heart. Heal his soul. Help him with his memories. as he gets onto the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven in the name of Jesus. Heal his body, heal his heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Vernon, appreciate you. I love you, man. You know, something's happened to you. Amen. Give him a great hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, God loves you. Every one of you, make sure you say hi to somebody. Read them. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, before we go, we're going to sing one more song. But I also want to give a reminder to all of our first-time guests here this morning that the staff want to meet you down at Fellowship Hall. So we'll meet you down there. If you have any questions, see an usher. They will help you. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Once again, amen. We love you. All right, so join us as we sing one more song.
Good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good